Hey guys, this is episode 252.
Part two.
That's right. Of a Oscar preview two-parter. We now pick it up where we left off with our guest, Doug Benson.
Right now, go.
Best foreign language film of the year, Ida from Poland, Leviathan from Russia, Tangerines, Estonia, Timbuktu, Mauritania, country I've never heard of, and Wild Tales from Argentina.
Also a country I've never heard of.
Mauritania, yeah. Wow, every title except for every name of the country except for Poland ends in A-I-A. I think it's pronounced Ida. That's how the woman said it right before moments later she and called Golden Dick Globe. Pope Dick Poop Golden when they were announcing the nominees.
Well, in Golden Globes, they called that one Leviathan. Instead of Leviathan.
Oh, instead of Leviathan. Yeah. Who was it that was doing that one?
That was the Golden Globes when they were announcing.
No, was there a presenter or was it the
it was the
voiceover, the announcer. Voiceover,
yeah.
That's that guy's job is to say it right.
I think that guy was probably right.
Tangerines. Yeah. Timbuktu.
I haven't seen any of these. I will say that on our message boards, the movie Ida was talked about a lot.
Ida.
Ida.
Yeah. I think. I don't know.
Tangerines.
But
I'm going to just go Will. I'm going to just go Ida because it's the only thing I've
heard about. The only thing you've heard about it is the name and you keep saying it wrong.
Idea, I think, is my pick.
I'm going to go the same.
Force Majeure was the big snub this right. year. Everybody right. raves about right. that. I haven't seen it yet, but it's on demand right now, so I'm going to check it out soon because I hear it's great. So, again, I'm just twisting in the wind on this thing. I don't know anything about any of these movies. And but I agree with Graham. I'm gonna go with Ida.
Yep, same reason.
Good luck with your Oscar pools this year, everybody.
Yeah, hey, wouldn't it be,
don't blame us?
Wouldn't it be great after the nominees are announced that you could actually buy and watch on demand all of these films?
That'd be smart.
Well, we're headed there. Definitely,
we're like, not getting there quick enough.
Like Gone Girl had a big DVD splash release the 2 days before the nominees were announced, kind of hoping to be that movie where once it gets nominated for Best Picture, it'll clean up and
and VOD. And
it's already a huge hit, though. I don't feel sorry for that movie at all.
Mm-mm.
Or David Fincher. Like, people think that was a big snub. I don't agree. But Gone Girl is a great example of why the Academy is nominating 8 or 10 movies.
And they don't show up anyway.
And then they didn't do it.
I know. They should just say it's 10. Just say it's 10, and then we got to fill 10 spots.
Because that's the other crazy thing about it, is the way the voting works is everybody has to pick their favorite movie. You have to pick a number one, and then the movie that gets the most number ones is automatically in, and then they go through these series of things where, well, now let's see which movie got the most number two votes, and which movie got the most number three votes.
It's a weird system.
It's this crazy-ass system where they arrive at these 8 movies. Ugh. And then leave out, you know, 2 or 3 of the best movies of the year. I mean, Lego Movie also could have been, as far as I'm concerned, a nominee for Best Picture.
Yeah.
Because it's groundbreaking. And that's what Boyhood is, right? And it takes twice as much time to watch.
Yeah.
I'd rather watch Lego Movie twice than Boyhood once.
Achievement in film editing, American Sniper, Boyhood, Grand Budapest Hotel, Imitation Game, Whiplash. Man.
See, Whiplash is where that could sneak in because of the whole idea of, just how those scenes are so – it's so much music and so charged and the editing is so quick. But everyone is going to think that Boyhood, that the main reason it works is because some woman named Sandra Adair spent 14 years putting together all the pieces.
Well, that actually is a big accomplishment. I mean, if you think about that.
That's what I'm saying is it's just like in terms of just – and, you know, I think the Academy loves Boyhood because what actor wouldn't want to be a part of that?
Right.
It was an actor showcase, you know, fucking two crazy dads that show up. Those guys both had juicy parts.
Mm-hmm.
And then just this idea that you could like – age without having to put on makeup. Although in the last scenes of Ethan Hawke, it looks like they put it looks like he grew a mustache and they put a little gray in his hair just because he's hard to sell the aging thing with. because he's just one of those guys. It's just going to be always a handsome, young-looking guy for his whole life.
Right.
Uh-huh. You know? So he doesn't age a fucking minute in that movie.
Well, maybe that should have been under
makeup. I need to know Patricia Arquette, to be honest with you.
Well, then maybe that should have been under makeup and hairstyling. They should have been nominated.
Yeah. I'm gonna go Boyhood on a Should Will.
Yeah, me
Should too. Will.
Yep.
Three-way Should Will.
Oh, wow. Okay, next category, best documentary short subject.
Ugh. Which one sounds the most depressing? Read them.
Crisis Hotline, Veterans Press 1.
Sold.
Joanna.
Boo.
Our Curse. Mm-mm. The Reaper. Mm. And White Earth.
Crisis Hotline, Veterans Press 1.
It's going to be that
Should
one.
Will.
Chris, where do you think? You in?
Yeah. No dissenting opinion.
Best documentary feature, Citizen 4, Finding Vivian Mayer, Last Days in Vietnam, The Salt of the Earth, Virunga.
Virunga.
I bet you there's at least 50 documentaries a year that would be worthy of this prize.
Yeah.
Because documentaries are so good these days. They don't get financed and finished unless some shit went down.
Right.
Unless they've got something to talk about. Every once in a while.
Yeah, the festivals.
Like my documentary squeaked through without that.
But no, it's. And the thing about the documentary is a bunch of them make big buzzes at the big festivals because people come out of a documentary going, no way, because it's usually some like provocative political thing.
It gets you fired up.
Yeah, social
more
thing.
So than a you know, a movie with a...
Which would be...
Made-up story.
Right, yeah. Or even a biopic. I guess that's why the biopics tend to get a little more traction anyway, is because, that happened. And
right.
But
right.
That's why the documentary is
based
like...
Based on a true story.
And the documentaries that always bust through hard are I had no idea that this was happening at SeaWorld or wherever to make you go, born into brothels, whatever, makes you go, Jesus, you know?
Yeah.
When we were kings, I'm going way back, but when we were kings, it's like, man, I didn't know there was all that lead up to that fight.
And it's also
an amazing movie.
It's like to also watch all these. It's like, well, how many disturbing movies can I watch in one season? Mm-hmm. You know, to put them all together,
they tend to be a little disturbing. But
and here's the other thing too with documentaries, because they don't get wide releases typically, they automatically the distribution deals, as we're finding out, and as I'm sure you know too, Doug, are like. You go right to cable. You go right to video demand. There isn't this like rollout. So people can be like, oh, no, I already saw that. I saw that 9 months ago when it was on Showtime or I got it on. It's already on Netflix or whatever. So I think there's more accessibility
there,
to that.
There's an irony to that they're actually getting easier to see than some of the other
films. There's like
films.
There's like a select group of people that nominate the documentaries too, because there's a real emphasis on making them watch all of them.
Right.
They used to do this thing, and that's what Roger Ebert railed against. They used to do this thing where they'd get everybody together in a room and they'd watch documentaries, and if everybody a certain number of people turned their flashlights that they're holding on, that they'd stop that documentary and move on to the next one.
Wow.
Really?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, my God.
So it was a really shitty way to judge. Because if it's a good documentary, the real power is in the ending of it, or towards the ending of it.
Yeah, where you're headed.
Yeah,
I think the Academy loves making a political statement in this category, which is why Citizen 4, I think, is going to be the...
I just think it's just the biggest story.
Yeah.
You know, Snowden is a big story, and people have, you know, I'm sure the movie...
It definitely resonated around the world, that story.
Yeah. So I just think that that's... if it doesn't win, it's just because one of these other documentaries has some aspect to it that we don't know about because we haven't seen any.
Well, I actually saw Virunga.
Okay.
And it is a very disturbing one. And
it's about
basically the Congo and how this is the only place where there's mountain gorillas left, but there's all this shit going on where you have this national park, but it's basically under siege from everything from rebels to the government to oil companies trying to get in, and they're trying to preserve it. But these park rangers are armed with rocket launchers and machine guns trying to protect not only the area but also the gorillas, and they also take in the gorillas. But, you know, then they hear firing as the rebels and the government are fighting, and it pretty much brings up the whole... I'll talk about it more on another episode, but it brings up this whole thing about this country where it's basically under siege. There's no one in charge of countries like these. Down, right. you have a central government, but you also have rebels, and you also have oil companies, and you also have oil companies kind of funding and bribing the rebels.
Wait, are you saying an oil company is doing something?
Illegal. Undermine the park. But the park, then the head of the park is like a Belgian guy. Like, so it's the, it has this.
And I'm
weird,
sure the government's all been bought off and shit.
Oh yeah, it has this weird international flair, but an international problem where the documentary makes some excellent points in the film.
Is this your should will then?
Well, I don't know. I haven't seen the other one enough of the other ones though. But what I really loved about this documentary was that it showed, you know, as the guerrillas were getting sick, or they also have to fight poachers too, mm-hmm. and all this mm-hmm. crazy stuff. And they said, even the rebel groups, they're all everyone's motivated by money and greed, whether it's a rebel group or the oil company. But it showed, and this is very accurate, the health of the guerrillas, because they're part of where everyone lives, also shows the health of the country and how everyone else is doing, and all the refugees pouring out, and how the war tears apart this entire country from the inside out. It has to do with the wildlife and the guerrillas mm-hmm. And everything ties together. And there's some horrible, horrible stuff when you hear on hidden camera, like the oil companies, security people, and the executives, how they pretty much talk about how the people that live there are animals and can't govern themselves, and how the Europeans should really just come in and kind of take it over for them. You'd be doing them a favor. Like, there's some crazy speeches in this movie. God. They get caught. And then, of course, there's a rebuttal from the oil company at the end. I'm not spoiling anything, saying, oh, those people no longer work for us. We always work in the structure of the international law. And I'm like, no one's even believing you. Who are you even talking to at this point with your propaganda? And there's no one on the planet that believes it. So.
Yeah, who'd they interview? Nathan Thurm?
Yeah. So it's a good documentary. It's actually on Netflix right now. You could watch this one.
So what
on
are
Netflix
you picking
right now? So I'm gonna pick Citizen Four, just because, like Doug said, it is the biggest story. But
all right, achievement in direction.
Yeah, and maybe Snowden will come out to accept.
Yeah,
he'll Skype in.
Or they'll Skype him in from Russia. Is he still in Russia?
I think achievement in directing. Alejandro Iñárritu for Birdman. Dickie Lynx for Boyhood, mm-hmm. Bennett Miller for Foxcatcher, Wes Anderson Grand Budapest, and Morten Tidblom for Imitation Game.
Well, Foxcatcher's in trouble because, and Bennett Miller, who's a great director, but I think a director winning when the movie wasn't even nominated for Best Picture has happened like once or twice in the history of the Academy, I think. It's pretty rare. So that lets him out. And then
I think it's a dead heat between Linkletter and Iñárritu.
Well, the thing about – it's funny Imitation Game is in there because I haven't seen it yet, but it just sort of – it was – a lot of people were predicting it would get nominated. Like, it felt like a sure thing, and I guess that's just because it's the kind of movie that the Academy likes. Because when you look at these other four movies, those directors brought something really different to the table. Those are – all movies that like could not have been made by another director, but some other British dude who knows his shit and is a good director could have made The Imitation Game. I'm guessing.
Yeah, no. Imitation Game. Like, you know, it's a good film, but
you gotta love Morten Tilden. Tilden, but I haven't seen it yet, so it's just a guess.
No, you're right though. It is a good film, but all of these, like you said, all four people. I mean, Grand Budapest Hotel, as we talked about, is very inventive. What Bennett Miller got out of Steve Carell, Mark Ruffalo, and Channing Tatum is amazing. Obviously, the 12-year span of Boyhood is amazing. Birdman, one continuous shot? I mean, from a directing standpoint, like, that's amazing.
And that they can cut a trailer that's beautiful and interesting and doesn't look like it's a movie that's supposed to be one continuous shot is also amazing. Because, you know, you take a movie with one continuous shot like Alfred Hitchcock's Rope, mm-hmm. and they had to make everything as simple as possible. And there's no beautiful cinematography and amazing stuff going
on.
Isn't Birdman. Well, Birdman ended up, for me, when I went to see it, ended up being more claustrophobic and people just sitting around talking than I expected it to be. But I also think that we may be making a mistake by not checking off Birdman in more categories, because we haven't picked it for anything so far. I think that the actors and directors and writers
all love it
because it's also kind of in that Inherent Vice category of it doesn't make complete sense,
right?
So you can kind of sit there and be like, hey, that's trippy, you know, like
trying to figure it out.
But then it's also just so nuts and bolts about actors and the theater. They spend so much time in that Broadway theater that's why show people
they're gonna
love it so much.
That was my problem with it. I had a similar thing with you, as I was like expecting a little something different and ended up just being about like Broadway politics. But I think that's gonna resonate with all these voters to where they're gonna pick this.
Directing and Best Picture could be like a split where they give Best Picture to Boyhood and directing to Birdman. And that's also where American Sniper's in trouble for Best Picture, is Clint Eastwood didn't get nominated for director.
Right.
But then again, the stats don't make sense because it used to be 5-5. So you can't really say with this eight movie thing.
You know, with directing, I'm just going Boyhood, should and will.
All right.
I'll go Will on Boyhood, but you're never going to get a should out of me.
What's your should?
I really should see Imitation Game before I weigh in. I got to see Foxcatcher. I got to see Imitation Game. I'm really behind. This is bad.
You son of a bitch.
Yeah, I fucked up.
So you're just going to go with a straight would on Boyhood.
I'm going to go with a will on Boyhood. And recuse your should? I mean, in the case of Birdman and Boyhood, just those guys having to explain to anyone what it is they're trying to do and then do it.
Right.
They both made the movie they want to make, I think.
Yes. No, they did. Mm-hmm.
And so it's a pretty amazing achievement on both parts, and that it got any attention from the world and then all these nominations is another thing. Yeah. It's really, good job. I mean, who wouldn't go? I would never not want to see the next Linklater or Iñárritu movie.
Right.
I just do it. Even though, and also his Alejandro Iñárritu, his previous movies were fucking bummers.
Yeah.
Like serious hardcore bummers.
Didn't he do 21 Grams?
He did Babel and 21 Grams.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah,
those were fucking heavy movies.
They were indeed.
So the fact that he turned around and made this really weird, fluid comedy is really...
No, he's a guy I will see no matter what, because it'll be inventive. Even if it kind of misses the mark for me, I know it'll be interesting.
All right, costume design. We've got Grand Budapest Hotel, Inherent Vice, Into the Woods, and Maleficent, and Mr. Turner.
You know, this will go to Into the Woods.
I don't know.
No, I don't think it will.
I think Budapest or Maleficent.
No, it won't go to Maleficent. Maleficent, honestly, the costumes were a little overblown.
But this is the thing. but that's the thing.
Yeah.
You know?
This is the thing. Murray Valeriano said when his wife was a costume designer, was nominated for True Grit, and it's similar to sound. The big crazy outfits are going to get – that's what wins.
Okay.
So
– right. She didn't win for True Grit.
No.
Right? That doesn't, but True Grit, you could see why that got in there. Anything that's like a period movie where, like, you know, the whole movie, everybody's got to have clothes that were invented or found is hard work. And
all right, you guys guys are starting to convince me.
But I'm not trying to convince you on Into the Woods.
No, not on Into the Woods, Maleficent.
Oh, well, but Grand Budapest Hotel is nonstop costumes.
It's great.
Like, everybody's got – nobody's walking around in an outfit they showed up in.
Everything is designed from scratch in Grand Budapest Hotel.
Maleficent, Angelina Jolie wore her own clothes. She just drove to the set.
You said that so deadpan. I was like, wait, what? Doug have inside intel on this?
Yeah.
Here's what I'm doing.
That little vial of blood around her neck is Billy Bob Thornton's. Still has that in Maleficent.
Wow, all right. Makes sense.
She uses it for potions.
Yeah.
Budapest is my should, Into the Woods is my will, because it's Colleen Atwood.
How much of a bummer was it that it was funny that Billy Bob Thornton had such a quick speech on Golden Globes?
Really,
but I really want to hear from
crazy.
Him. I love that
really
guy. I
hear him say something nuts.
I love hearing him talk.
Because he would just give the
That's love. Why he did that, I think, is because doesn't want the scrutiny.
He was so nuts in Fargo, too. He
so
was great.
Good.
He was so good. He was like,
so
good.
Oh my God, I forgot how great a
That's like the best performance by anybody last year, I thought.
It was amazing. And just him interacting with Martin Freeman was unbelievable.
What are your should wills, Christopher?
All right, should Grand Budapest. Will, I'm going to go... I'm going to go Maleficent.
Oh, Chris.
No, you know what? No.
No.
No, forget it.
I'm a Grand Budapest Should Will. I'm Should Will.
Grand Budapest Should and Will because it's. I believe in that movie too.
You want to make it happen?
Yeah, I do.
You know,
I'm putting
like
the energy
sports
out
team.
There. Yeah,
got to root for something.
All right, you guys. I guess I'm going out on the ledge with Colleen Atwood.
But Inherent Vice, the costumes are really fun. Like it's really, it's a you know good right. '70s thing. You know that they do.
Achievement in cinematography: Emmanuel Lubezki for Birdman, Robert Yeoman for Budapest Hotel, a bunch of Polish names for Ida, and Dick Pope for Mr. Turner, and Roger Deakins for Unbroken. I'll tell you right now, should Will Birdman, because the one continuous shot is going to get these cinematographers are all, they're all losing their shit over that. Every cameraman, cinematographer that I know is like, have you seen that? Like, they don't care about anything
else. It's very well done. I enjoy that Birdman has that parenthetical title because on award shows, they have to read the whole thing every time. And I still don't understand even what that's supposed to mean, the unexpected virtue of ignorance.
And Roger Deakins gets nominated just on his name.
Deakins is the shit. Like, he's everybody's favorite cinematographer, so there's a chance he could squeak in on that. People might give Dick Poop the embarrassment award for having that happen, but I have to agree with Graham that Birdman's a should Will.
I'm gonna
like
go.
That cinematographer made Emma Stone look good. Have you seen her in person? She's dog meat.
Wow, dog meat.
She's what an ugly piece of shit.
She's dog meat.
And I love her so much.
I'm going to go Graham.
I'm so glad she doesn't have that she can't be in any more Spider-Man movies.
Yeah.
I'm so glad that franchise is going to reboot once again. She should be in stuff like this getting nominated for awards.
I'm going Grand Budapest should and Birdman will.
All right, Chris will. All right.
All right, idiot.
All right. Way to go, dummy. Animated feature.
Look, can we just skip it?
Well, yeah, I know. It's Big Hero 6, Box Trolls, How to Train Your Dragon 2, Song of the Sea, Tale and Princess
Kaiguga. Kaiguya. 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 That's it. Kaiguya.
All right. Big Hero 6. Okay.
Song of the Sea, no one has seen yet, so that's kind of amazing that that squeaked in, but. Animators nominating animators. They, you know, they, I guess, saw it somehow.
Or. I don't know how. I think I can see how every movie got here except How to Train Your Dragon 2 and how Lego Movie did not get in there. I mean, all you had to do, if you swapped out How to Train Your Dragon 2 with Lego Movie, I'd be happy with this category. Because Song of the Sea, that's the director that did Secret of Kells. And these are beautiful 2D animated movies. And the Japanese one, The Tale of Princess Kaguya, is also another beautifully animated film.
But here's where the whole gang steps in. Everybody that does every kind of movie making that isn't animation. You know, I bet you the animators block is the smallest group in the academy.
And Box Trolls is stop motion, which, you know, nobody makes that anymore.
Yeah, it's. I mean, I think all of them are probably, you know, super cool to look at, but it's the best animated feature film, and I'm kind of surprised were you thumbs down on How to Train Your Dragon 2?
Like, yeah,
I loved it,
and I loved the first one.
I was pleasantly surprised because I thought, you know, it'd be hard to make a sequel because that first one was so good.
Mm-hmm. I liked it.
I thought it was more emotional than the first one. I thought that you know, because they can kill somebody in the first one, they didn't really kill anybody that you know.
I liked Dragon 2, but I agree with Chris in the sense that you should have swapped this out for Lego Movie.
Well, no, I fucking swap out Song of the Sea or Tale of Princess, because as much as, you know, that's great that they're, you know, that they're respecting these unknown animators, but they can't possibly win.
Yeah.
You know, because everybody's going to vote, so it's going to be How to Train Your Dragon 2 or Big Hero 6. That's all there is to it. You know, because I can't imagine a whole academy sitting through Box Trolls, even though I think it looks cool. And
well, you know what is also interesting about this category in a day of computer animation? There's only two computer animated movies on this out of the five.
I bet you computers got involved in all of them.
Well, you know, I'm sure
they
there was a computer
in at some
somewhere.
Point in the process. Yeah,
yeah.
But okay, I'm going to really go up against you on this one. I'm going to say should Will on How to Train Your Dragon 2.
Oh, wow!
And either way, if How to Train Your Dragon 2 or Big Hero 6 wins, our friend T.J. Miller was in both.
I'm going should Will on Big Hero 6.
So good for him
because I really like that film. I like it.
We saw that movie at a screening that TJ set up.
That was really cool.
So, sorry I voted against you on that one, TJ, because he does have a bigger part in Big Hero 6. And that's my favorite part of Big Hero 6 is the setup, the reveal at the end that makes it seem like the if they make a sequel
franchise.
Or a franchise or whatever, that TJ's really his character is going to be even more front and center in the next thing.
You know what? I'm going to go... Should Will, Big Hero 6.
Chris on a Should Will.
All right, guys, home stretch. Performance by an actress in a supporting role, Patricia Arquette, Boyhood, Laura Dern, Wild, Keira Knightley, Imitation Game, Emma Stone, and Birdman, Meryl Streep,
Into the Woods.
I mean, our goal here today is to make this take as long as the actual awards, right?
that's what we want to do.
We're on the last page.
Yeah, we're really killing it.
I would say... I think
it's not going to be Meryl Streep.
No, I think
I don't get that. I don't get that. She's in a movie. Let's nominate her.
No, it's like Roger Deakins. If he,
because even the predictions were saying she was definitely going to get nominated.
Yeah, it's just the name. As soon as you have her in something, that's you know
it's the same reason fucking Duvall can sneak in on the goddamn judge. Like this is just Meryl Streep's great. Yeah, but not in. I mean, not that she's bad in Into the Woods, but come on, man. Is this of all the female actresses out there? Like the woman who played Dr. King's wife, she's not on this list. Like
Streeners.
I know.
It's a, you know, that's the shame of this thing is that why does it have to be January 1 to December 31st every year? Like what? Like it's such an arbitrary choice. Like let's judge all the movies against each other in this one year.
And the majority of them come out in December.
Right? Yeah,
and for
that's how it used to be. That's how it used to be. Like they used to be really big with the qualifying runs. But I think because of Netflix and the internet and cable and on demand and all that stuff, it's just business wise launching a campaign by putting a movie out for a week. To get people to see it. Like that's the animated movie that we haven't seen, The Song of the Sea or whatever, that had to play in New York and LA for a week. And I didn't even notice that happening.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, no.
They used to have a bigger promotional splash along with the 1 week qualifying run.
You used to have to go to the
newspaper to pick what movie you were going to see and what time you were going to see it at. And the ads would say 1 week qualifying run. They'd really be explicit about it. And now you can't find that written anywhere. The movie's just playing. It lasts for a week. Maybe they take some ads out in the trades, but the trades aren't even the trades anymore.
Right.
It's all on the internet.
Unless you're involved in the film, you have no idea what it's about or when it's coming out.
Right.
Yeah.
For a lot of these. Same thing with The Tale of Princess Kaguya. There was no way to know when it was coming out, where, or anything. There was nothing.
I didn't know anything about it until now.
I had a chance to see
Big
it
Hero
at a
6,
festival.
You kind of knew.
Yeah.
That was trumpeted quite a bit.
Well, I tell you what. I mean, I don't know. I like Patricia Arquette.
Great actress. Showed up every year and played a character that was a lady that has two kids and bad choices of husbands. Like, I didn't find the characters that interesting. I thought everybody does a great job.
So what do you think for actress?
And Laura Dern sort of squeaked in there. I haven't seen Wild yet, but it seems like she's kind of an emotional pin in that movie. Like, that's why the daughter goes on that hike.
Yeah, well, it's all done in flashbacks. And Laura Dern, you kind of see her arc as a mom, because Reese Witherspoon flashes back to like a 5-year-old girl, a teenage girl, a girl in her 20s. And so Laura Dern really, and you see the lessons Laura Dern's trying to teach Reese Witherspoon that she didn't get at the time, but in the flashback, she's like, yeah, maybe that. Laura Dern does a great job in this film. I like Patricia Arquette in Boyhood because you see her just young, got pregnant young. You see how she's trying to do her best job in each point in his life, but she is like a single mom who's struggling and makes dumb choices with men, but also is frustrated with Ethan Hawke.
She's just a solid actress.
Yeah.
She's definitely great. Like I actually used to watch that show that she was on Medium. I thought she was really good on that.
Yeah. And,
she's good.
Keira Knightley is good in the Imitation Game.
I enjoyed her just as much. Well, I haven't seen it, but I enjoyed her also in Begin Again. And
she's really good in that.
The thing to keep in mind for people that are filling out their ballots for pools is that supporting actress is where the Academy, even though they don't get together and discuss it as a group, they tend to give it to an attractive young actress. It's a kind of a thing they give to a child actor or a young actress to sort of anoint people, you know, kind of like the Academy.
An ingenue.
You know, Marissa Tomei, Mira Sorvino, you know, year after year. Who won last year? Do we remember? Every once in a while, it'll be like an old person, you know? But it tends to be. So I think that there's a very good chance Emma Stone could snag this and be anointed by the Academy as a star to watch or whatever. But I think Patricia Arquette will win because I just think showing up, working on a movie for 12 years is gonna win over most of the Academy.
Right.
And nobody could possibly have a bad word to say about that woman, you know?
I agree with will win. Should. I'm going to recuse because I haven't seen enough of the other performances.
Oh, that's okay. That's fair. Maybe I should do that too.
Patricia Arquette won the Golden Globe, which leads me, which is why I kind of lean towards what you just said, Doug. So I think I'm going to go Patricia Arquette with a should will. Because I
you know that the Golden Globes are voted on by people who've never made a movie.
Right.
Never been on a set, maybe in some cases.
But I think this, though, I think Emma Stone wasn't in enough of Birdman and strong enough to get in on the reasons. That's a very legitimate thing that they always vote for the young. I just don't think Emma Stone. And
Anna Paquin.
Yeah.
Tatum O'Neill.
But I think Emma Stone is almost a little too established at this point. And I think what Patricia Arquette did, like you said, 18% are actors. They're going to go, wow, that was so amazing that she came and did this role over 12 years. That's what I think is going to win.
Cool.
All right,
boys, what are you doing?
Yeah, I'm should Emma, will Patricia, but I also have to admit I still need to see Wild and... Still need to see Wild and Imitation Game.
Recusing yourself from everything, Chris?
No, I'm going to will win. Patricia Arquette should recused because I haven't seen enough.
All right,
of the
best performance by an actress in a leading role.
Haven't seen any of them.
All right,
I'm kidding. Saw one.
Marion Cotillard, 2 Days, 1 Night. Felicity Jones, Theory of Everything. Julianne Moore for Still Alice,
which just came out.
Yeah,
by
I
the
know
way.
They just released this. Rosamund Pike, Gone Girl. Reese Witherspoon for Wild. To me, the thing about Still Alice, because she just won the Golden Globe and it just got released, that might, since the ballots are just going out, I think that might push Julianne Moore up into as a front runner.
Because of attention spans.
Because of attention spans, exactly. And because it, you know what I mean?
Like, a lot of the voters have early onset Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
So
it's a very relatable film.
You know what I mean? Like, if everyone's like, hey, what's this Still Alice movie? Oh, she just won. Oh, I should go see that. Or I just got the screener now to where I think it might do it. I mean, I thought Rosamund Pike was great. I really liked Reese Witherspoon. Felicity Jones is good. The 2 Days, 1 Night I haven't seen. So
the fact that 2 Days, 1 Night, that she showed up, you know, squeaked in there with something that people hadn't really heard of, speaks a lot to how much the Academy loves her and her performance. But she already won Best Actress once before. Julianne Moore, has she won before? Did she win for Boogie Nights?
I think she did.
May have. I think she did, but
I'm going to go shoot.
But still, for Best Actress, everybody is just raving about her performance in that movie. And
yeah.
And that it's true that she won the Globe and she didn't win it for musical or comedy. It was for drama. So I think that's a should will.
Yeah.
Julianne Moore is always, you know, I mean, she's just been so sturdy for so long. We played Last Man Standing with her on, Doug Loves Movies, and just the sheer volume of roles she's played.
Oh yeah,
is pretty amazing.
Chris, you should willing.
Same, yeah. Go with Julianne Moore.
Okay, supporting role by an actor: Bobby Duvall in The Judge, Ethan Hawke Boyhood, Edward Norton Birdman, Foxcatcher with Mark Ruffalo, J.K. Simmons Whiplash. Strong category, except for Robert Duvall.
right, who might win?
Right.
I think it's between Duvall and Simmons.
Really? You think Duvall has a chance?
I do, because
just because he's Robert Duvall.
The fucking got career it. Award.
Yeah, oh, I got you.
You know, okay. And...
it's like Meryl Streep, man.
But he has won before, so it's not like he's lacking.
And he is a great actor.
He is great, yeah. And, you know, I'm sure... That's the kind of movie that people go into wanting to love it, and he's the best thing in it.
Yes.
And that's, you know, that's hard to do when you're opposite Robert Downey Jr. to be the best, so that's... Good for him.
Simmons won for Whiplash. I think Mark Ruffalo does a great job in Foxcatcher. Edward Norton is very intriguing in Birdman, but I'm gonna go Shudwell on J.K. Simmons.
I'm with you. I'm just rooting for that.
I'm gonna
to
go
be honest with you.
J.K. Simmons will Robert Duvall in an upset. I think he's nice. Gonna get a career award.
I don't think it's gonna be an upset. I mean, I think it's legit, you know, because
Chris Mancini going out on a limb.
I mean, all these guys are always really good, you know, and that's where Ruffalo could sneak in there because he's so un-Ruffalo-ish. You know, it's such a different performance. I haven't seen it, but, you know.
He's really good, and it is.
Just the pictures of him, and it's like, what? That's Mark Ruffalo?
That's why Mark Ruffalo is so good. He's not playing a typical Mark Ruffalo character. He's playing an actual guy who was a wrestler. It's like, I would never cast Mark Ruffalo in that role. But he was that because I don't.
Right.
I couldn't
you
see,
don't
him,
see him
doing
that way,
it. And he was amazing in it.
All right.
Same with Carell. I mean, that's the thing that's interesting about Bennett Miller as a filmmaker is, like, you know, he's one of the he stuck his neck out first on you know, Jonah Hill having a big
right.
pretty dramatic mm-hmm. part, and you know, he's definitely got an eye for you know, he's had Bennett Miller's made three movies and there's been acting nominations in, I believe, every one.
Yeah.
And Philip Seymour Hoffman won for Capote.
He gets great performances out of people.
Yeah.
So performance by an actor in a leading role. We have Steve Carell, Foxcatcher, Bradley Cooper, American Sniper, Benedict Cumberbatch, The Imitation Game, Michael Keaton, Birdman, and Eddie Redmayne, The Theory of Everything.
Where the fuck is Tanning Chatham?
Where is Olielio for?
Yeah, there's very obvious snubbage going on in this category, but that's just because it was a great year. I think.
Now this is also one, Doug. I think, I know you'd mentioned this before, is where they kind of reward maybe a career in one of these. Like when you look at like Michael Keaton, how many awards has he actually received? Like this could be the one where he actually gets
one. And he's been winning everywhere. Leading up to this, right. So there's that momentum factor.
The one very significant exception to that rule was when Bill Murray did not win for Lost in Translation.
Right, but who did he lose to though?
I gotta look that up. I'm not sure.
Yeah, because you know, that was probably a two man race at that point. Like this year, there's a lot of grumbling that he didn't get a nomination for St. Vincent.
St. Vincent, yeah.
Which he was very good in.
Yeah, I'd give him an Oscar for Rushmore before that.
What was the one that, was it Billy Crystal was the host? He said, "Don't worry, but we all still love you." Like it was actually acknowledged that he didn't win in the awards.
Yeah, maybe. Because it was, you know, it seemed like he was going to win. I mean, you know, Bill Murray seems half his career now seems to be trying to win Oscars.
Right.
Like he seems to be really swinging for the fences, you know, because he played, the president that was in a wheelchair.
Yeah. Roosevelt.
Oh, yeah, it was whatever that, Summer on the Hudson or something.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
I think it's going
to
be Michael.
You didn't
Keaton.
Figure out who Bill Murray lost to?
I couldn't find it.
Oh, Jesus. Just go.
Google who did Bill Murray lose the Oscar to.
I love that movie, Lost in Translation.
So did I. I think it's great. But I, you know, I really think this is going to go to Michael Keaton because of, again, I think it's going to be another great performance coupled with a career award kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just. It's his year, but that having been said, Eddie Redmayne, you know, goes totally cripple.
He lost to Sean Penn.
Oh, that shitty actor.
Yeah.
Sean Penn in Milk?
I believe.
Yeah, of course he lost.
No, it was Mystic River.
Really? In Mystic River? Oh, no
That's
wonder he looked so pissed.
That's a heavy performance. Yeah.
Is that my daughter in there?
Yeah, yeah.
You're not going to beat that.
That movie was a bummer.
You're walking around going, what kind of restaurant makes you cook your own food?
But Redmayne does a supposedly amazing job, transforming into this, real person that everybody knows. And
yes. And also, that's the thing I said.
Another
when I saw
biopic,
it.
Too.
Well, it's a biopic, and I said this when I saw it, is just from an acting standpoint, and I knew he'd get a nomination, is half of the movie he is acting with a handicap. I mean, with like a gradual one, and then in a wheelchair. And like that, to me, just from a physical standpoint, I was like, that is amazing acting. And then how he slowly starts to take on, like you say, a guy that actually exists that we see in his wheelchair using his computer to speak for him. That's why I think Redmayne's going to win this.
Yeah, and I'm sure in his younger scenes in the movie, he's just spouting all this brilliant shit that's hard to learn and say. And,
And he's full of life, and he's really sharp and quick. And
but how about this piece of information? 60% of the time when an actor is nominated 3 years in a row, they win. And this is Bradley Cooper's third nomination.
I think
in 3 years.
I don't think he's going to win. I think he's too. I think he's
in a movie people are really excited about right now.
I don't think he's going to pull it off. I don't think he's going to pull it off over Michael Keaton or Eddie Redmayne. I think American Sniper might win Best Picture, but I don't think he's going to win for Best Actor.
So who's your this category, Chris?
I'm going to go Should and Will for Michael Keaton.
Ooh, Should and Will. I'm going to recuse on Should.
Wow.
Because I really got to see Redmayne and Carell and Cumberbatch.
Jesus.
Yeah, I'm so far behind. But that's what I'm saying. The reason I'm so far behind is because even if they're exceptionally well made, these movies seem boring to me. Mm-hmm. You know? It's just something about Imitation Game. I'm just like, I can't get into it. But I'm sure it's really well done. So I'm going to go Keaton. Keaton for the Will. But Redmayne could squeak in there. It's happened before. There's been plenty of times where there's somebody, Paul Newman lost a few times to younger actors until they finally gave it to him for the wrong movie.
Right. Here's what I'm doing.
All right.
Uh-oh.
Crazy based on Doug's statistics.
And I make up as we go.
Yeah.
Doug, you said Keaton is a Should Will?
I'm saying he's a Will. I'm recusing on Should.
Okay. My Should, Eddie Redmayne.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. My Will, Brad Cooper.
Wow. Okay.
Because I think mixing what Doug just said about the 3 years in a row thing. Mm-hmm. And
he also gives an amazing performance as the raccoon in Guardians.
Yeah.
And he's on Broadway right now killing it as Elephant Man. That's where they say it might hurt him, is that since he's on Broadway all the way up until, like, even, I mean, maybe he's there through the whole thing. Yeah, he can't do as much. He could still do a ton of TV in New York.
Yeah.
I think that the 3 years in a row statistic and the fact that it just did $107 million this past weekend at the box office and everyone has seen it.
And Clint Eastwood has not been nominated and nothing else really in big categories. It's all technical or best picture. So that could be the award that goes to American Sniper. I really got to see it. I tried to see it one night and I was at the Arclight and, I got high as I do. And then it wasn't going to start for like another hour. So I sat at the bar and had a few drinks. And then when I went in, like, I don't even think the trailers were done before I nodded off in my seat. And I fucking woke up when the credits were rolling. I was like, what the fuck? How did I sleep through that entire movie? But I do want to see it. And then weigh in, because it's really, I've heard such mixed things about it. Like some people think it's a bad movie.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I've heard that from a lot of people.
All right. Well, let's get into it now. Final category, best motion picture of the year. Only 8 out of 10.
Clint Eastwood, of all people, didn't get nominated for best director. So that's not a good sign.
Right. American Sniper, Birdman, Boyhood, Grand Budapest Hotel, Imitation Game, Selma, Theory of Everything, Whiplash.
You didn't say the full title on one. It's Whiplash or The Unexpected Virtue of Ignorance.
I'll tell you what I think is going to happen here.
All right. Go ahead.
Here we go.
Lay it on us.
I think
because of what's happened in this country in the last 6-7 months with Ferguson, the guy getting choked out in Staten Island, how the race issue is really big.
So American Sniper is going to win.
yeah, exactly. I think, and because Selma did not send out screeners, did the weird release date thing that Doug was talking about, like they didn't push it enough. That's on Selma. But I think this is where the Academy goes, Selma, we're going to give you Best Picture because there's all this buzz about all these categories are just like almost all white actors or actresses. And I think this is where they're going to go, oh, we messed up and Selma is going to win to make it right. That's what I think they're going to do.
I think there's a very strong...
And it's a good... Like, I've seen
there's
it.
A very strong chance for that. Like, the only Selma backlash there's been, and it's also hit a few of the other movies, including American Sniper and Unbroken, is the thing that gets thrown around about changing some of the facts for the course of a movie.
Yeah.
And so they say for that biopics. All the stuff with the... president.
Well, that's
with Tom Wilkinson. They say that relationship is not accurate.
Well, that's mm-hmm. here's the
in
thing.
Selma.
And here's what happened with that. They that was where the director I think made a mistake. When I reviewed the movie, what was it last week? I talked about that's where they depicted LBJ incorrectly, and there's recordings of LBJ talking about Selma, like, no, we need these guys on TV and everything. And the movie depicts like he's just kind of bullied around by Dr. King, which is, I don't think, accurate at all. Now, also, too, I found out with regard to the speeches, and I don't know how this will weigh into the voting, but the King estate owns the rights to all these speeches. So they had to rewrite these speeches because he can't say them. USA Today released his I Have a Dream speech several years ago. The King family sued USA Today and won.
Really?
Yes. So the director...
Why do they want to keep that a secret?
They just...
This movie's a perfect opportunity to teach, you know, several generations
so the speeches
what he
have
said
be,
in that speech.
The speeches have to be modified?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
And they just switch little, you know,
and that's
little words around.
And made perfect sense to me.
I had a nap. And here's what came to me while I was napping.
In my nap, I believe that white children and black children can play together in a park.
And then I ate a whistle sandwich.
A whistle sandwich and a butter nap.
Yeah.
So, which is what made sense to me as to why I thought the weakest part of Yelio's performance was the speeches, because I cut him slack because I was like, well, it's hard to beat Dr. King. He's one of the greatest orators of the last 100
right.
years. That to me made sense. So anyway, that's just sort of a piece of information I just came across in this. But I still think that this is where the Academy's going to say, hey, we got to... The fact that Selma didn't out screeners is the filmmaker's fault.
Well, the studio.
It's the studio's fault, whatever. It is their fault. The release date, that's the studio's fault. But it is then, you got to see this movie.
I agree with that in theory. That's a really good theory. And it just depends on how much talk there is about it and how many people actually watch it and, you know, decide that they should, you know, it's just, you know, Boyhood is such a groundbreaking, it's just such a unique thing.
And it's gotten all this buzz from the Golden Globes. It's kind of got a lot of momentum right now.
I mean, I dare say Theory of Everything and Imitation Game are like the only movies on this list that aren't, you know, particularly groundbreaking in any way. You know, they're well-made.
They're well-made biopics.
I assume. Yeah. I haven't seen them.
I mean, my should win is Interstellar. I will win Selma because I just
you guys both loved Interstellar.
I loved it.
Yeah.
See, that's I think part of the reason Interstellar is you know not up for Best Picture and not up for any acting roles is because I think it's while it tried to be a lot of a movie of the heart, I don't think that came across. I didn't find any of the characters compelling. Like I don't think any of the actors got snubbed.
Right.
You know. Even though the movie itself is an achievement for me, I wasn't interested in any of the characters. But
So what do you think?
That's just me, you know.
Should and will.
Well, my will is I'm going to stick with Boyhood. I you know, the day the nominations came out, I tweeted Boyhood's going to win. Let's see you later. But that Selma thing could really. I'm going to recuse on should win because I got to see four or five more movies.
All right.
I'm going to go should and will Boyhood.
Wow. Yeah. Chris on a should will.
Yeah, I haven't seen four of them. But. Oh, so you're going should because you're racist?
I like movies that take 14 years to make. That's
Oh, Selma, you know, that life took a lot longer to live. But also Selma just covers one period of time, right? It's like kind of like Lincoln where they kind of picked an area instead of doing a let's get him in old age makeup. No, and
it's literally that march in Selma, Alabama.
That point in time.
And leading up to that.
And it doesn't even cover – he doesn't get assassinated in it?
None of it.
Oh, okay.
It's literally – that's – and I believe
not
that's –
not to spoil that for anybody that was hoping for that to happen.
That's 65. It's really basically they cover about 6 months.
Sounds like a neat idea, and you know that there's a lot of backlash for, you know, this was the opportunity for the Academy to nominate a black woman director. They just fucking blew it. But you know they only get to pick five, and she probably came in sixth place,
right,
or close to it,
right.
Or not enough people in the Academy saw it. Like just that timing is so important.
Yeah, it sure
sucks.
Is. Well, it's how much money gets put into the marketing. Well, this
year
show.
I mean, we've talked about it in years past, but this year really shows you the amount of money you put into the marketing, how you market it, when it's released. These things factor in so much because everyone is out there getting their Oscar movie ready and when they're going to release it. So it is fucking competitive as shit. When there's 10,000 movies released every year.
when a movie like Black Hat is coming out and it says from the director of Heat and Collateral and it's being released in January.
Yeah, you already
know. I go, from the director of those great movies comes a movie that's not good enough to win a single award from anywhere.
Anything?
Because you can't.
Right.
Silence of the Lambs is the only movie in the history of the Academy that came out in January and managed to win Best Picture.
Well, I'll give you the exact...
Dumping Ground, generally January, February,
but,
you know.
But flipping this now, this Moby Dick movie that Ron Howard was supposed to come out in March, they have now pushed it to December.
Right, because it's, you know, he probably needs more time with it, but also, like, let's
take a
let's
shot
put
at
it out there
it's
when
a
it's
a lot of work to make a
Oscar
movie
shot.
Mediocre.
But I think movies need to, I think the movies that have the best chance in award season are the ones that debut at Toronto in September and have a slow rollout over October and November
and
are in theaters everywhere by Christmas.
And they get buzz at the Golden Globes. It's like a lead up.
Right. And then they send out a shit ton of screeners.
Right,
I mean,
so
the screener thing was so obvious this year of how much of a misstep that was by Selma and Interstellar.
They're cutting back in general. Like my Writers Guild thing is, you know, my membership lapsed because I haven't written any Writers Guild things
mine too.
In a few years. Mm-hmm. So like that
I
certainly cut into
anymore.
My screeners.
Yeah.
But I'm SAG and I didn't get a single screener. And
because you're not on the nominating committee.
No. I know people that said they got some.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That after the, you know.
The mistake I made with SAG was I forgot to up. I had to re-up my dues by some date in December.
That might have been it. Because I'm so lazy about paying my dues because I'm like... You know, you have to be so in such arrears with that to be told you can't work when you show up on a set.
They let you go if you don't make enough money in a certain amount of years that's guild money anyway for WGA. Like if you don't have a union job in a couple of years, you're
Yeah,
you're
they just
out.
Put
you,
you on they yeah, they
inactive.
Just put you in some inactive status
yeah, yeah.
So I can get back in when, you know, whenever I write
right,
something,
exactly.
But I don't know if I'll do that again. So I may but in general they, you know, it seems like the amount of money a movie makes because of Oscar win or nomination now is maybe reached a point where it's not worth as much effort as they've put in the past.
Mm.
You know,
because it just doesn't.
Like, how much more is American Sniper going to make because, you know, based on any wins that it gets at the Academy Awards? Well, it's already a fucking smash hit.
But look what American Sniper did. Such a limited release in December. And then...
wide and
three now, weeks later goes wide, but wide right before the ballots go out.
Like, yeah, and also probably that movie got sent to everybody in the Academy.
Yeah,
like not sending screeners to the Academy is probably a mistake.
Yeah, clearly.
But, you know, it's pricey.
It is pricey, but you have to do
it's
it.
It's part of the marketing budget. But build it in.
Yeah.
Well, that's our episode, ladies and gentlemen.
Did we all say who should win already for Best Picture?
Yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. Sorry.
Doug and Chris went Boyhood, and I went Selma.
That's
all right.
That'd be interesting if Snelba. I mean, you're absolutely right. That could really play into the voting, but there's just too many people in the Academy, I think, that admire what was done with Boyhood. You know,
I just think too, like after what happened last year, you know, 12 Years a Slave got all these nominations and wins, and it mm-hmm. was you know, it was like, oh, this. I mean, honestly, this feels like a ballot from 15 years ago. You know what I mean?
And as far as the whitewashing goes, like, Spike Lee and people like that complaining about how there's no people of color nominated for any of the acting nominations, there's 20 slots
right.
for actors. And, how many movies? We already talked about that, like 350 movies. Mm-hmm. And how many of those have great roles for black actors? It's like, mm-hmm. that's where it's... It's got to start on the production end.
Yeah. Denzel Washington got The Equalizer.
You know, when they say, you know, when they say this is the lowest number of nominees of color since 1988 or whatever year they're quoting for however long ago it was. It's like, well, yeah, but in every year since 88 to now, there have been people of color nominated in these categories.
Right.
You know, so it's not like. And so for people that say, well, we're going backwards, that's not really fair because it's all. It's also arbitrary anyway. There are black and white actors that deserve to be nominated and weren't.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
You know?
Yeah, because there's absolutely only so many spots.
There's only so many spots. You know, if you really want to win, winning
screeners.
Is so important to you, write a Broadway show.
Yeah.
Because they choose, you know, six musicals, you know, or 10 musicals at most get to share all the awards pie.
Well, this was a supersized episode.
This is a big
it?
Episode, guys. You're getting two episodes in this one. This is your two episodes.
Should we split
this
it
week.
Up?
Yeah, we could split
yeah,
it
take
up.
A few yeah. weeks off.
Yeah.
So.
See the world. This garage is boring.
We spend a lot of time
guys,
in it.
It's not a boring garage. It's a lot to look at.
Post your should wills on the Facebook page and on the message boards.
As soon as you can log in.
As soon as you can log in.
Go on Twitter, put all our names in it, and then should.
Yeah.
And then will.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. We want to hear what you guys think.
Drive us crazy with your bullshit opinion.
All right, Doug, where can people find and listen to you? You got tour dates. What's cooking?
You know, I'm doing a bunch of Doug Loves Movies out there in the country. You pop up on them occasionally. And I got one coming up in St. Louis this Saturday. And then since this is a movie podcast, I should mention that there's this thing called Master Pancake in Texas, in Austin, Texas, at the Alamo Drafthouse Theaters, where they were doing it before me, but they interrupt movies similar to the Benson movie interruption, but they're like a little bit more strategic and do like a wacky sketch and stuff. And, but it's a whole lot of fun. And they do these shows called Choose Your Own Pancake, where audience members bring in DVDs of movies, and then they all stand up on the stage and they have to defend their movie, like why we should watch that movie and make fun of it. And then, so then that's all improvised once we do start making fun of it. And then, you know, the audience gets to vote on, you know, which one we should do.
The Alamo Drafthouse, those theaters
they're so great.
They're so great, and they have such inventive programming like this.
First, to step up and say, we're going to show The Interview anyway, you know, when all that went down. So I'm doing two Master Pancake shows on Friday, January 30th at the Alamo Ritz. And they always sell out, and they're always super fun. So come on down, bring a movie. And then all of my dates are at douglovesmovies.com.
And your Twitter handle?
Is Doug Benson. Spelled Doug Benson.
With an at symbol in front of it.
Oh, yeah. Don't forget that.
All right, cool.
Where are you going to be?
I'll tell you that right now, pal. I'm going to be headlining the improv at Harvey's Hotel and Casino in beautiful South Lake Tahoe, January 28th through February 1. I will be watching the Super Bowl in the sports book.
Join him in the sports book, you guys. Who are you rooting for? Who's the should win? Who's the will win?
Ooh, I think I'm going to go Patriots.
Really?
It's going to be a tight game because here's the thing. Seattle has an amazing lights out defense, but they gave up 22 points to an injured Aaron Rodgers. That made me give, I was a little like, really? Russell Wilson had a horrible game, but came on strong. So I don't see him having two bad games in a row.
Who's this girl, Aaron Rodgers, you speak of?
She is adorable. She is Hollywood's new.
Oh, I'm thinking of Aaron Andrews.
Anyway, yeah. I think, and what the Patriots did to the Colts, they just waxed them. Tom Brady looks like, I'm going to go get my third fucking Super Bowl, and I'm going to get it now.
That's right, and then he'll be what, the third guy to be in three Super Bowl quarterback, yeah. Three Super Bowl wins.
Well, he's the first guy to ever be in six. This is their sixth appearance, and this will be one of. There's Bradshaw has four. I think Staubach maybe, and what's his name?
So if he wins this one, he'll tie it up for four.
No,
he'll still be behind.
He'll still be behind Terry Bradshaw, but. There's Joe Montana, I believe, has three. Mm. But this puts him in another elite category. Because John Elway has two. This will put him in a higher category. That's yeah. It's going to be a tight game, though. It's a pick 'em. Vegas is putting it a pick 'em. They're putting the total at 48.5. I'm going to probably take...
So when you're planning your trip at Vegas.com, you could go bet on the Super Bowl.
You could go bet on the Super Bowl. Go to Vegas.com and bet on the Super Bowl. Speaking of Las Vegas,
what's the spread they've said already?
It's pick. It's even.
Oh, I thought it was like plus one or something.
It might start moving. If somebody loads up, it might start moving.
All I know about it is that I have lots of friends and fans in Seattle and Boston, and I'm going to recuse myself because those are some fired up towns for their fucking teams.
I love the Seahawks. I love both teams. I love the way both teams play. I just think the Patriots. I think it's going to be a great game. It's going to be a tight shootout. I think it's going to be a higher scoring than people think.
All right,
but.
So Vegas.com.
Vegas.com. Use coupon code CFN to go see me headline February 17th through the 22nd. I will also, this just got added, I'll be headlining the Hollywood Improv on Valentine's Day, February 14th. Baron Vaughn is on the show. We're getting some other people. It's going to be a very fun
Sounds
show.
Sounds romantic.
It is so romantic.
Candles? You can have some candles?
I've been doing a lot of candles. I'm also doing a comics on safari with Murray Valeriano.
What is that? You're going to go out and shoot things?
Yeah, we go shoot people. No, it's all comedians who surf.
Surfari?
No, it's just safari.
Okay.
Maybe it's safari. anyway, that'll be at the Brea Improv on Wednesday, February 11th.
Why is it called safari?
Because it's an adventure.
You go on surf safaris. We call them surf safaris all the time when you go on like a long surf trip.
So you guys are going to talk a lot about surfing in the show? Or
it's just a bunch of comics who surf. We all might do one.
Surfing comics. I like that.
That's and fun. It's sponsored by Maui and Sons. And they
you got to have that Beach Boys surfing safari play.
Your little
play
theme
you
song. Pay your ASCAP fees.
Morning, noon, and night. Christopher, how about you?
I will be at the Improv in Lake Tahoe a few weeks after you on February 11th to
Good
the 15th.
Good luck with that.
Yeah,
he tears that place down.
I'm actually going to be with Will Durst, who I'm actually looking for.
What an odd reaction!
I've never worked with him before. I'm excited nice to work dude. With him. Yeah.
All right.
So
shit's going to get political.
Oh yeah,
he's going to have some stuff to say.
Yeah, he might have
things
some
about the government there in Tahoe.
He might have some opinions.
Mm-hmm. Well, guys, check us
Annex
out.
Tahoe.
We are at Comedy Film Nerds on Twitter. We also are on Instagram. Oh, I just joined Instagram.
Oh,
so
Grammel
is my Instagram title. So
why didn't you go with Instagram?
Damn it!
That would have been perfect.
Idiot! That'll be the name of my next album.
Yeah, Instagram. That's a good idea.
So yeah,
you should.
Come on, let's make it as dumb as possible.
You should do that thing that
Instagram just add funny.
The punchline tried doing this.
Make the title.
The punchline tried to do this a while back where they were like recording comedian shows and then selling that very show to the audiences they were leaving. But, you know, that's kind of to me, like any given set, I might not want them selling it to everybody right afterwards, you know, if it didn't go great or whatever. But that might, if you're calling it Instagram, that might be a fun thing to do, like figure out a way to sell the show you just did. and call it that.
Call it Instagram.
Yeah. And that could play into your whole bit about how people complain about, you know, when they buy a CD by a comic and it's got stuff on there that they heard at one of your shows. You can say, this CD, you've heard every fucking word of it. So don't bitch to me if you buy it.
All right, guys.
Make it a runner.
New marketing tip.
I'm always coming up with people, ideas for other people's careers. should really think about my own shit.
Well, that's our show, you guys.
Is this the longest episode we've ever done?
This is a two-hour episode.
Oh, my God.
We're going to split this
up. Let's go another hour be as long as the Oscars.
Let's talk about the Golden Globes from 1978. Let's do that next. Yeah.
You know, it was funny. That year...
You did it. All right, that's our episode. Thank you so much, Doug Benson, for coming into the Nerd Garage. My name is Graham Elwood.
And I'm Chris Mancini. As always, remember...
Han shot first.